This is Wilt's Wake Up Call. We have not been here for a few weeks, but we're so thrilled to be here this morning in this beautiful new station. We're still in downtown Carrboro, but right near the Art Center. And it's just a lovely space. And we're so happy to be back with you, our listeners. We're brought to you by WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. And we're here this morning with our wake-up call that's on now again every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock, bringing you the important news of the day, the news behind the headlines, and a lot of community news, things that are happening in our community. And this morning, we are very happy to have our guest, Reverend Robert Campbell, who has been on our program before, who is a community organizer extraordinaire and is doing wonderful work in the Rogers Road, Eubanks Road community. Good morning, Reverend Campbell.
Good morning, Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Glad to be here.
And he's here. There's always so much going on in your community, Reverend Campbell. And so we're here to find out what's happening now and some of the new things that you are getting in place. And we just want to hear about it and how can we help.
Well, we in the Rogers Eubanks neighborhood have created a community garden and establishing a safe place for the kids to hang out this summer. We're calling it our community house.
Community house. I am going to go and visit your house Monday morning. So community house, that sounds like a big project. Tell us where it is and more about it.
It is located off in Purifoy Drive, 1704 Purifoy Drive. That is right off of the Rogers Road between Homestead Road and Eubanks. It's right in the center of the community.
Yeah, I think you turned that. It's right near the church, isn't it?
Yes, you'll turn right in front of the church if you're coming from Homestead. If mm-hmm. you're coming from Eubanks, you're going to make a left-hand turn on the Purifoy Drive.
So it's easy to find because the church is a good marker. So it's down on Purifoy Drive. And so this is a house that somebody is letting you use in the community?
Yes, one of the residents allowed us to use this house as a gathering place, a social tool for engaging a very diverse community.
Wow, that is wonderful, because it's such, and you're getting this started particularly like for the summer, right?
Oh yes, we want to have somewhere for our youth to mingle this summer, try to encourage them to continue with there's a academic side of life as well as a place where they can have fun.
So that'll make it different from some summer camps that you are trying to not let them lose ground over the summer, but have at least part of the day getting a little reminder of stuff that they were learning in school. Well, how are you going to do that? You got volunteers? How does this work?
Well, we have volunteers coming from our UNC.
Good.
And we have some of our local residents that is volunteer to be instructors mm-hmm. in some of the things that we want to do. We want to encourage our young people to continue the academic side so they won't lose ground in that which they are learning in school. We plan on doing some reading and writing, also math and science. But most of all, we're going to engage them in being good stewards of the environment through our community garden.
Oh, that is so important. I think the only hope for this poor planet is the young people coming up to be imbued with the ideas of the environment, how to protect the planet, how to do things in a way that will not further create more toxic waste. I mean, and you live in a community that the environment has been your big, big struggle. Maybe for some of our listeners who might be new, maybe we'll back up from the new projects and just give a little bit of an overview about what has brought this community together and how you and some others have brought this community together because of environmental degradation.
Yes, we are a community that is bordered by a landfill and was the controversial site of a waste transfer station. But with the help of the residents of Orange County and the goodwill of the government body, we are no longer that site. But we have to keep in mind that the environment is something that we all can be good stewards about. Mm-hmm. We got to learn how to reuse, reduce, and recycle our items that we bring into our home. And just look at how we dispose of things so we can protect the soil, the air, and our water.
One thing I just want to bring in our engineer, Dick Paddock, this morning. And Dick is going
good
to
morning.
Be... Good morning, Dick. And I'm sorry I got so caught up with the beauty of the place. Forgot to say that Dick is here also. And he's our very faithful engineer and also... It's part of our interviewing also, because I may have to leave a little early. So I'm glad you're here, Dick.
Thank you.
So we were talking about recycle, reduce.
And reuse.
And reuse. And one of the things that struck me, I recently went to the Eubanks landfill. And people may not realize that, but you can bring, like, discarded metal things. There's a whole big bin for metal. There's another bin now. They've started this whole new thing with rigid plastic. And that takes a while for your head to get around. So you can go there. So I had a daughter was moving, and I had a bunch of her stuff. And so I was going from bin to bin, but I had to think because I'm not used to it. You have to really educate yourself running over to the metal. And then they also do have a place where you can leave some really things in good quality on some shelves for other people to pick up and use. But we're all learning. It's a huge learning curve, but we better learn it as fast as we can.
That is true. I can give the heads up on our solid waste department here in Orange County is very good about information about how to reduce, reuse, and recycle. Contact Mr. Gail Wilson at the Orange County Regional Landfill Management Facility. And you can get all the instruction we need in order to have a very effective program.
You're right. Is this a gentleman who's right on site there? Because I started to put one thing in the wrong place, and he very nicely motioned to me and pointed to the right place. So he's there to help you out if you are not quite sure which place to put certain things, and I really appreciated that.
That is true. When they say a convenience center, it is very convenient, and you have a very... very good staff out there.
Yeah.
That will direct you in the right direction and assist you if you need assistance.
And for anybody who's not been out there, I just want to say it's kept very clean. You know, it's not an unpleasant place to go to at all. It's very well organized, and it's even gotten better over the years. I was very impressed when I went just last week.
Well, that is true. It seems like the more people use the convenience center, they get adopted into the cycle in which is being used at the convenience center. And also, we learn things that we could take back home and learn how to begin to recycle before we get to the convenience center.
Like your batteries. I don't know. Does everybody realize? Don't put your batteries in the trash. I kept them in a little plastic box, and they have a place for old batteries there, which is, you know, it's such a wonderful thing, because when you think of those poisons being where they don't need to be, where they can be handled with the way they should be. And Dick, I guess you're in Chatham County. I guess you have a convenience place there?
Yes, we have several drop-off points for recycling, and it sounds like it operates very much in the way that the one out by Rogers Road Eubanks does.
Mm-hmm.
There's people there who actually, it's a full-service site. You can just bring your regular trash, too, on their compactor.
Yeah.
But they also have, like, metal recycling areas, and there's also a sort of a community exchange where you can bring secondhand goods And just put them there, and people will pick them up as they need them.
Yeah.
It's almost like the really free market.
Well, they have that at Eubanks, too, but I want to get back, Reverend Campbell, to these new projects that you are, you're constantly creatively coming up with these wonderful ideas. And maybe tell us a little bit about the community garden.
Oh, yes. We are very excited about the community garden. We had several groups from UNC as volunteers to help us create this garden and design it. We're already getting produce out of the garden. We had a large salad patch that is just about depleted right now because everybody began to hear about the salad patch and it was coming out and harvesting the salads. We got some of the largest green cabbage and purple cabbage you want to see.
Ooh.
The zucchini and the squash are really growing. We're just giving everything away. But this garden was designed as a social engagement tool. As everybody may not know, that we have a very large, diverse community. And this garden was put together to bring forth social engagement. We want to tear down the invisible fence as well as the visible fence. So residents of the community can begin to socialize and become a very creative community. That way we break down the possibility of hostility, break down the idea about separation that creates gang members. We want everybody to grow up, grow out, and just learn how to socialize together.
Wow, so diverse community, you have what? You have the old-time residents who are predominantly African-American?
Yes.
And then some new residents?
Oh, yes. We have nearly, if you look at, as they used to say about America, the melting pot of culture, well, we have a smaller version of that in the Rogers Road community. We have citizens of nearly every background.
Wow.
That lives in this community. And so we just want to begin to socialize and live together and help America grow to become what America is designed to be.
What the
a place
was.
Where there is harmony,
yeah,
and peace and freedom to enjoy life and pursue happiness.
Well, where is the garden located?
The garden is located between 1711 and 1715 Purefoy Drive.
Oh, it's on Purefoy Drive.
It's on Purefoy Drive. It is behind Barbara Hopkins' house.
Okay. And so it's not something you can see when you drive down Rogers Road. You got to turn into Purefoy.
You got to turn into Purefoy, come halfway down, just across from Phoenix Place, that new development by Habitat. But the exciting thing about this is that more and more people are learning about the garden.
Yeah.
More and more people are coming into the community. They began to see that the community is it is growing. It is striving,
mm-hmm,
and we just want to keep that harmony going. We also in the process of assisting. They're going to put a community garden in the Phoenix Place development, and they're in the process of creating that garden and getting it up and running. And so we just want to be able to help them in time of need.
Okay, so people will be, for one thing, a lot of people have lost the skills in gardening. I'm sure a lot of kids aren't used to seeing the shovel, you know? I mean, this is bringing back the old skills that we had.
That is true. That is true. We often hear that our young people don't like to eat vegetables.
Yes.
But as our young people began to work in the garden and began to see how things grow, they actually was tasting the broccoli as the broccoli came into production, and found out that broccoli has such a nice, sweet taste to it.
And that's it. When you when a kid has maybe helped grow the broccoli and sees it mature, when they see a carrot come up out of the ground, their curiosity and pride in what they've done is going to be much more conducive to them tasting that carrot and tasting that broccoli.
That is so true.
That is such a wonderful thing. So I guess that'll be going on all through the summer. Some of the different crops come up at different times. The salad greens are phasing out all over as we get the hot weather.
Oh yes.
And I guess we're looking forward to tomato season.
Oh yeah, our tomatoes are growing. Our corn is coming up. Our sweet potatoes are thriving. Our watermelon, cantaloupes are growing. Our peppers, our cucumbers.
Oh my God, you're making
all those things are in place.
You're making me hungry just thinking about it. Okay, we're going to take a station break, and then Dick is going to take over my place for sure. And have to leave a little bit early, but let me first let you know that we are very proud to have an underwriter, Internationalist Bookstore, 405 West Franklin Street. And you can get more information either by visiting them, which is, excuse me, a fun place to visit because it's also, as well as being a bookstore where you can get books that you can't get in other big box stores, but also it's a community center. You can find out all things that are happening, progressive things that are happening in the community. You can also go to internationalistbooks.org. And I do have to remind you that WILF, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, is celebrating its 75th birthday here in the Triangle Branch. So we are doing good things all year, and we'll be telling you more about our ways of celebrating our birthday in subsequent programs. So this is WILP's Wake Up Call. This is Lori Hoyt, and Dick Paddock is also here holding the fort with our guest, Reverend Robert Campbell.
Thank you, Lori. I want to mention a little bit more about the WILF anniversary. You can keep up with what we're planning on our website, which is trianglewilf.org. That's triangle WILPF.org. And you can go there and keep track of what we're planning. The big event culminating our celebration this year of our 75th activities is on November 13th. We're going to have a big party. It's going to be at the Community Church in Chapel Hill, Unitarian Universalist, and as we plan, we will publish our plans on the website so that you can be ready to join us on November 13th.
I can't get out.
Okay, hold on a minute.
I want to tell you about another project that we're planning on doing. Is our annual Back to School Bash. We'll be in our 25th year of supplying school supplies for youth in our community as well as Orange County itself. Our projected project this year, we want to stuff 425 book bags that we give out to K-1 to K-12 children that are in the Chapel Hill Carver school system. We ask that you give us a little help this year. We need more help this year than we did last year. So any donation that you make, we appreciate that. You can drop your donation off at 1711 Purefoy Drive, or you can call David Caldwell, 967-4442, or Barbara Hopkins, that is 573-8874 or 933-6210 Robert Campbell. Our Back to School Bash.
And that's, I'm sorry, when's that going to be?
That's going to be the second Saturday in August. Second Saturday in August from 10:30 until 6 p.m.
Okay, and so you need people to come and stuff book bags and You need donations too, I assume.
Oh yes, we need book bags stuffed with school supplies or drop off school supplies, and we'll stuff the book bags ourselves. Any donation is very, very much appreciated.
I wanted to get back to the community garden. One of the things you mentioned is that the tomatoes are setting and growing. And I think that one of the big pleasures of a garden is to go out and grab a nice, warm, red, juicy tomato off the vine and take a big bite.
Oh, yes. You can just about create a complete salad from this garden. We got lettuce growing. We got cucumbers. We got zucchini and squash. We got tomatoes coming in. And also be able to pluck up a carrot every now and then. So this garden is not only just a tool to for social engagement, but it also is a tool for nutritional, healthy food. And so it is a great tool for the community.
One of the things that that I am enjoying in my garden, which I just have a little one in front of my house, is that I have what are called heirloom tomatoes. They are some old varieties that are being kept alive by people who search these things out. And so I've got a combination packet of seeds that are red and yellow tomatoes.
Oh.
So, but it's not about me.
that's a good variety.
Yeah.
It is good that we'd be able to show that there are different varieties of the produce that we help to grow. And it also... it gives that element of curiosity, which will also engage young people. Why is this tomato shaped this way, and why is it? I always thought tomato was red. They would tell you, but
right.
It's a good tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said, you can plant different varieties and show that what you buy in the store. One of the things that they were developing in the old days for commercial growing was a tomato. They were actually looking to get a square tomato, but the main thing they wanted to do was to make a tomato that wouldn't be bruised when they shipped it. And they had a very appropriate name for it. It was called the Red Rock.
So
we don't have to do those anymore when we have community gardens or we have our own gardens.
Yes, it's even convenient that you get something that is freshly grown, is more nutritious for the body than those that are sometimes that are shipped.
Right. So you're going to carry this garden on into the fall and you're going to have greens?
Oh, yes. Our hope is that we turn this garden into a large collard green patch.
So
have mixed green out there this fall.
Yeah, so you can have essentially a year-round garden.
Oh, yes. We are looking at maybe even turning it into a greenhouse and see whether we can grow some tomatoes in the winter.
Is the community garden idea, you mentioned that the Phoenix Place development is going to have its own community garden?
Oh, yes.
And is this thing spreading all over Chapel Hill?
Oh, yes. The concept of having a community garden and being able to go outside and get fresh vegetables out of your own garden and share it with your neighbors is really taking off. I understand there's two community gardens right here in Carver. There's the one on, there's another community garden here in Chapel Hill that is a highly publicized, and that's the Hope Garden on Homestead Road.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of activity out there. There's a lot of activity that is moving through the community about community gardens.
Yeah, it's amazing that this kind of a movement is in process in a situation where we celebrate supposedly as a nation all our efficiency in growing stuff in these factory farm arrangements so that we can feed everybody, and yet people really aren't being fed, neither in the spirit nor in the nutrition for their bodies.
That is true. And one of the most simple tools for feeding the body, the physical nutritional food, but also spiritual engagement, working together on a project that engaged the young people and the middle-aged people, the old people, is such a beneficial tool to the community. Where we find out that even this garden had begun to create a point of interest where people are actually walking more in the community. Mm. They find out that the garden is close by. They want to come and look and see. And they, even some of the older people is giving us tips on how to really make your garden grow. So it is very welcome, all this information. It's just helping us to be better people.
Mm, that's great. It's good that the, as you say, that the people who've done it all their lives and know how to do it are passing the knowledge on. Well, I was curious about some of the mechanics, like is it an organic garden? You don't use pesticides and all that kind of stuff?
It is an organic garden. We use organic chemicals to help us keep the infestation of insects down. We even incorporated the concept that once we had broken up the ground and got the ground cultivated for planting, we also recycled some of the newspapers as grass blockers. Right. We also incorporated some cardboard as blockers, and so to help keep the grass down, and also to help keep some of the cardboard and paper from going back into the recycling process to eliminate the waste stream that is going into our landfill. Mm-hmm. We incorporated some of the old wood and wire that we had around in the neighborhood, and the garden is designed to be environmental friendly.
That's great. That's also very important. All right. Do you get fertilizer from somewhere? What kind of soil enrichment do you use?
Well, we use a company out of Cary that have been collecting some of the food waste here in Carver and Chapel Hill. That turned it into a rich compost. And we use that as one of our treatment for our soil. Mm-hmm. So what we are doing, we are incorporating other waste control management into this garden. Mm-hmm. To help with the reduction of waste. And so just through the way we prepared the soil itself, enriched the soil.
That's really good. It's about all the time we have this morning. I want to thank you, Reverend Campbell, for coming to join us and tell us about your latest projects. And we look forward to seeing you again. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call. I'm Dick Paddock, and you were led in discussion earlier by Lori Hoyt. And we'll see you again next week.